Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samach. We will begin Daf Kuf Samach Amar Aleph at the new Perek. Our Perek, as Tosfos points out, Perek Get Poshut, which discusses the way Shtoris documents were written and signed, is actually, as Tosfos says, not really the subject matter of our Masechta Bava Basra. However, Tosfos says the reason it was put into this Masechta, because since we just finished learning the sugyas about Shchimera, and when a Shchimera doesn't have to commit what he wants to do to writing to a shtar, when it is required, therefore our Perek continues discussing the halachas of shtaris. Furthermore, our Mishnah begins with the word get. We know that normally the word get refers to a bill of divorce between a husband and a wife. However, again, as Tosfos points out, even though that is the typical definition of the word get, and there are many reasons why a get, a divorce, is used as the word to describe a divorce document between a husband and a wife. One is because the word get, the gematria of the word get is 12, and as we will perhaps discuss again later in the shiur, the get is made up of 12 lines, and therefore get is the word used for a get from a husband and wife. Another explanation that the Rishonim suggest is apparently there was some sort of a stone that was called the Gita stone, the get stone. And the characteristic of this stone was that it didn't let any other stones be near it. And that's exactly what happens by a get, where a husband and wife separate from each other. Another explanation given is that in the Hebrew language, we don't find words where the letter gimel and the letter tes are next to each other, besides the word get, which, as we said, represents when a husband and wife are divorcing. So therefore, the word get is the most appropriate word to be used to describe that document. But again, as Tosfos says, it's not limited to get to that type of a document. Rather, the word get means shtar. The word get means a document. And it can be used in that sense, which actually is the way it's being used in this perek. We're not learning Hilchos Gittin in this perek. We're learning the halachas of all types of shtaris. And as we will see, as we begin the Mishnah, there was the typical document, which is the way documents that we have are written, where you have a document stating whatever needs to be said in the document, and you have edim on the bottom of the document. Many documents, as we've learned and will continue learning, are certified, have kiyum by Bezdin. And the way Bezdin affixes that certification is we're putting a hempik, a certification seal, on that document. That's the typical document which our Mishnah calls a get poshut. However, there's another type of document called the get mekusher. The Rishonim debate exactly how the get mekusher was made. And it's interesting to note that even the Rishonim aren't clear how Get Mekusha really looked. Because as Tosfos clearly says on Amud Beis, already in time of Tosfos, and there are rayas that it could have been already in the time of Tanoim and Amoraim, people did not anymore use the Get Mekusha, and they therefore didn't really exactly know exactly how the Get Mekusha looks. I'm going to quote a number of pshatim suggested by the Rishonim on what how to get Mekusher is looks. We're going to follow in learning our sugyas the pshat that the Rashbam suggests how get Mekusher is made. A get Mekusher, as we'll see Mitzvashem in the Gemara on Amud Beis, was typically written because they wanted to delay the shtar being effective. And the way you accomplish that is by writing it in a complicated manner, technically complicated manner, so you sort of delay the shtar being completed. And a get mekusher means, a get mekusher means, according to the Rashbam, they would write a line, or whatever they're writing, leave a line empty. Some Rishonim suggest they have to be careful that the space between the written lines should not be the same size as the written lines, should be a little smaller, but leave a space between the first line and the next line. Fold that, sew it together, and as we'll see in the Mishnah, then have the Edom sign in the back of the document, and so on, and so on. Furthermore, again with this pshat, we know, we discussed this when we learned Masechet Gittin, there are two parts to a get, there are two parts to essentially any document, any contract. There's what's known as the tarif, which are the unique aspects of this transaction, the date, the people, the details of the specific transaction. And there's the typhus. The typhus, I guess, in our jargon would be the boilerplate. Says the Rashbam, they would only do the mekusher on the typhus part, on the tarif part, not on the typhus part. So typically the way it would be written is you would have at the top or at the bottom the unique attributes of this that transaction, the tarif, and then that would be sewn together, and then you would have a regular document for the rest, the typhus. That's the Rashbam's pshat. The Meiri's pshat is that a get mekusher versus a get pashut had straps. The two versions of this, some say the straps went from the top and the bottom, some say the straps went from the sides, and that they would tie this document together, they would tie this document together as a get mekusher with those straps. Third pshat that Rishonim suggests regarding get mekusher is that sometimes we know people make a fan out of a piece of paper. They used to fold a piece of paper into that type of a fan-like contraption, and that's called a get mekusher. Again, as I said, we're going to learn the way the Rashbam follows, understands what a get mekusher is. So says the Mishnah, get poshut, edim mitoichet. As I said earlier, on a regular document, the edim sign at the bottom of the document. Mekusher, but a get mekusher, edim mechurf. The edim is signed in the back. Here the Rishonim discuss, if we follow the opinion of the Meiri, that what is a get mekusher, that the document is written, and then the straps tying, that we tie it together, we can understand what the Mishnah says very well. Because the Mishnah is teaching us that we write the whole document, have it signed in the back, what that means we'll spend a lot of time in the Gemara discussing, Mitzvah Hashem, and then tie it with these straps. But according to the Rashbam's explanation, that the document is written, write a line, leave a space, write a line, and sew it together. So how could the aide sign the back of the shtar before the document is completed? Can't sign the document before the document is completed. So I saw a number of pshatim how to deal with this issue. The Ari Shainim, it's a chiddush, but the Ari Shainim that suggests, yes, the Adam could sign the back of the shtar. The Adam could sign the back of the shtar. An aide could sign even though the document isn't completed. Difficult pshat. So because of this, I saw two different pshatim. One pshat is that even though the shtar is written, that you write a line, leave a space, write a line, sew it together, they didn't do it as they were writing the shtar. Because then you would have a problem that the aide has to sign in the back, but the aide can't sign in the back before the shtar is completed. Rather, what they did was they wrote the entire shtar in that fashion, then had the aide sign in the back, and then only sew it together and finish, complete writing the shtar. Another pshat that I saw is, yes, that the aide signed in the back as each two lines were completed. Our problem, that how could you sign before it's completed? Those aidim, it's a nice pshat, but I don't know if it works in the Gemara. And those aidim signed again at the bottom of the shtar. So they weren't only signing in the back, and we have the issue that they're signing before the shtar is completed. They're also going to sign again at the bottom of the shtar. So, Mekosh Edim Mechuruf, says the Mishnah, Poshet Shekosov Edim Mechuruf, if a shtar Poshet was signed with the Edim signing in the back, or Mekosher Shekosov Edim Mechuruf, a shtar Mekosher where you have the Edim signing inside the shtar, Shneim Psul. They're both possible. Most Rishonim explain the reason it's possible is because Chazal gave us a very specific method how a shtar should be written. And if you don't follow the method that Chazal told you, it's a disqualified shtar. Other Rishonim explain, and I don't want to dwell on this because we'll learn this sugya in the Gemara. By shtar mekusha, the Gemara teaches us later in this perek that they were written with the dates not the dates were not exactly the date that the shtar was written. But that's only by shtar mekusher, not by get poshet. So it's very important that a mekusher remain a mekusher, and a poshet remain a poshet. Furthermore, I saw the Rishonim teach us that when we learned Masechta Gittin, it's a nice chazara, when we learned Masechta Gittin, this is a machlokes that kept on coming up, when we learned Masechta Gittin, the famous machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rameya. Veidach simakarti, Eidach simakarti means that what makes the get into a valid get is the signature of the Eidim. Eidim sirakarti says that really the main witnesses are the Eidim that testify and saw the transmission of the get. Say to Rishonim that even if we follow the opinion that Eidim sirakarti, so you don't even need Eidim on the shtar altogether. You just need Eidim to see the husband giving the wife the get. Still the halach is that if this person chose to have Edom sign the get, the Edom have to do it right. And if they do it improperly, then even the man, the Omer that holds Edom's sirakarti will agree that the get is disqualified. As I said at the beginning, this get that we're talking about is not only a get of divorcing a husband and a wife. It's also a question of a shtar, regular shtar, a transaction, a monetary transaction. And our Mishnah just taught us that under certain circumstances, the shtar is possible. Machloikis Rishonim, what does possible mean? Some Rishonim say that the word possible here means as follows, as we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, that a shtar that says that I owe you money includes in it, and we know there's a concept of a chrayis to a cipher, that even if it wasn't written, it's still automatic, that all my property becomes mortgaged to this obligation. Here, since it's possible, you can't go after the lukuchas, you can't go after mortgage properties. But it is enough of a shtar to be considered a riot, to be considered a document that I owe you money. Other Rishonim say no, that the shtar is possible, is disqualified to the degree that it's useless. It's useless. And therefore, if you come with the shtar saying that I owe you money, and I say, I don't owe you money, the halach is you cannot collect. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Eimer, because she shekos for Eidah b'taychai, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel opinion, however, is that a mekusher can be turned into a poshet. Nei she yochal asayse poshet. If somebody wants to start with a shtar mekusher and then write, have the Eidim sign in the shtar, and it should be treated like a shtar poshet, that's fine. So again, according to the Meiri's explanation, our Mishnah is very understandable. Because the Miri said that what's the difference between a shtar mekusher and a shtar poshet? The shtar mekusher has straps. A shtar poshet doesn't have the straps. So it's very poshet. He says you could cut the straps off. But once you wrote the shtar, it's too late to put the straps on. That's what Chanina Gamaliel is saying. According to Rashbam's explanation, we need to understand that once the Edom is signed on the back, we began this process, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel said, what a poshet has to have the Edom inside, and if they're on the back, that disqualifies. But if you have Edom on the back, that doesn't stop you from having Edom inside, and therefore the shtar is still a good shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm a hakel kibin in Medina. What Rav Shimon Gamliel is teaching us, we'll learn in the Gemara. Get poshet, a regular shtar, Edom b'shnayim. You have to have at least two witnesses. Umekusher, shtar mekusher, has to have a minimal of shloisha, three edim. Poshet, shekosu by eid echad, a regular shtar that has only one aid, or mekusher that has shnei edim, that only has two edim, Shnei Psulim are both possible. Another interesting machlokes Rishonim. We know, and we're going to quote this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Apishnei edim yakum davar." The Torah always requires that there be a minimum of two edim. But we also know that, let's say I have a claim against you, but I don't have two witnesses to back up my claim. I only have one aid. So the halacha is I can't prevail in a din Torah if I don't have two aidim, but I can be mechayiv you a shvua. If I have an aid echot to support my claim, then you'll have to make a shvua. Rishonim debate, if I don't have aid, I don't have a live aid echot to support my claim, but I have a shtar with an aid echot signed in it. Do we view that shtar? It's a meaningless piece of paper. A shtar, a document that only has one aid on it, is meaningless. It's like I have nothing. And therefore, I could not even obligate you to make a shvua based on that document. Or, suggests some Rishonim, what's the difference if I have a live aid or have a shtar with an aid signed on it? That they're both treated the same way. And just like if I had a live aid echad backing me up, I could force you to swear, so too will be the halacha if I have a shtar with an aid echad. So we've learned that there's a get pashut and a get mekusher. Asking Rav anonymously, where do we find a precedent for this type of two types of shtaros? Rav Chanina d'Amakra. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah. Pasuk teaching us, well, we're going to quote this concept. Yirmiyah lived in the time, that's when he said his nevuah of the Churban Abayis. And he was saying that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to console Klal Yisrael. And he told him, even though Klal Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed, and Klal Yisrael is going to go into Golus, and Eretz Yisrael will be left devastated, it's worthwhile to buy real estate in Eretz Yisrael, because we're coming back. So now real estate is low, everybody's going to Golus. But buy real estate now, so you'll have when we come out of the Golus. But obviously, since they'll be in Golus for 70 years, and it's a long time, there's going to be a need to have documentation that these properties truly belong to the people who bought it. So the pasuk says that sodas bekesav yiknu, v'ksoy b'seif v'chasoyim v'ha'ed edim. Document these transactions. Explains the Gemara of the pasuk. Sodas bekesav yiknu, v'ksoy b'seif, ze poshut. Write a shtar poshut. Write a regular shtar. V'chasoyim, says Rashi Shtam Akushim. And the Rishonim immediately ask, why do we write two documents for the same sale, a Get Pashut and a Get Makushim? Write one document to represent the sale. So Rishonim explained, they wrote a Shtar Pashut, they wrote a Shtar Makushim, because as we're going to see soon, Yirmiyah, who was buying property from his cousin, Hanamel, were both Kahanim. And as the Gemara is going to teach us soon, Kahanim, the specific reason that their shtaros should be written with a shtar poshet. Shtar makusha, I mean. But on the other hand, Yirmiyah was concerned, as I said maybe at the beginning of this year, that by the time they come back from Golus, nobody's going to recognize a shtar makusha. And if his documentation that he owns this property is completely based on a shtar makusha, Bezim say this is not a valid shtar. So to be concerned that the documentation that he has, that he bought this property, remain valid, he specified that it should be written in the shtar pashut, that nobody should be able to question it. Void shnayim. Eidim shloisha. The word of aid means shnayim. Because as the Rishonim explained, wherever the Torah uses the word aid, without, even though it's a singular aid, it means two aidim. Only if the Torah goes out of the way to write eid echad, does the Torah mean one eid? Otherwise, even though the Torah is using the singular of eid, it means two. Why? Because the minimum amount of eidim that a kosher eidim, pishnei eidim yakum davar, has to be two people. Then there's another word, eidim, shloisha. So we have an obvious question. Okay, so did it need two witnesses or three witnesses? Says the Gemara, shnayim l'pashut. The shtar pashut, two witnesses were enough. Shloisha, you needed three witnesses for the shtar makusha. Estimate, we've identified that one shtar needs two edim and one shtar needs three edim. But who tells us that we should learn it that way? Maybe epechana. Maybe say that the shtar mekusher, two edim enough, and shtar poshut needs three edim. Answers the Gemara, Matach Shin Srabi Kshorv and Srabi Beidav. It makes sense to say that the shtar that has all these folds should have more Edom. Raf Mama, Rabin says, how do we know this concept of these two different types of shtaris with different types of Edom? Mihacha. Because the Pasuk indeed discusses that Yirmiyah, as I said, bought property from his cousin Hanamel. And the Pasuk says, the Ekech HaSeif HaMikna, as a chosim, ha-mitzvah v'chukim, v'esagolim. Again, explains the Gemara. V'ekech HaSeif HaMikna, z'poshet. V'esachosim, z'mekushim. Again, as I explained before, Yirmiyah saw the need to write both the shtar poshet and the shtar mekushim. V'esagolim, z'poshet shemekushim. This represents another din, a din that I spoke about at the beginning of this year. I said that even if you write a shtar mekusher, the only part you write on the shtar mekusher is the tayrif part, not the tayfus part. So he says, Vesagoli, the part that was left open, not folded, was the tayfus part of the shtar mekusher. Hachuk, hamitzvah hachukim. So again, as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara is asking, why does he have to use the word both hamitzvah hachukim? To teach us the differences between these two different shtaris. El dvarim shebein poshet l'mekusher. There are fundamental differences. What is the difference? Okay, it's a zeh. A shtar poshet has shnayim. Eid of shnayim has two witnesses. The zeh, a shtar mekusher has shloish witnesses. Furthermore, as we learned in our Mishnah, zeh, a shtar poshet, eidim b'toichoy. The eidim sign on the face, on the body of the shtar. The zeh versus the shtar mekusher, the eidim a sign me'acharif. Again, ask the Gemara. Fine, we've identified that there are these differences between the shtar poshet and the shtar mekusher, but perhaps epech hanok, perhaps say that the shtar poshet is the shtar with three witnesses, and the shtar kosher is the one with two witnesses. Again, answers the Gemara. It makes more sense to say that the shtar mekusher is the one with the more witnesses, because that's the one that has more edim. Rambay cheskol mehocham. The Pasuk, when discusses the dinim, the halacha of witnesses, says you need two or three. So the question, we're going to learn the Gemara Masechet Makis. Im tiskayim edusim shnayim. If the edus, if two witnesses are adequate, ask the Gemara, lama parat l'chob shleisha. What does the Torah speak about three? Two is enough. Loi malach, shnayim l'poshet. A shtar poshet has two witnesses. Shloish l'makusher and shtar mekusher has three witnesses. Again, for the third time, ask the Gemara v'epech hanok. If we're saying that the shtaris have different amount of witnesses, why are we saying it this way? Answers the Gemara, v'tach nisram v'ksharov, nisram v'edav. It has more folds, that's why it has more edim. Ask the Gemara, v'hani l'hochid also, is that what these psukim are coming to teach us? Kochad v'chad l'milsi hudasa. Each one of these psukim are coming to teach us a different din. L'chetanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Sodas b'kes of yiknu, v'ksoi b'soif v'chasoi, eitzah toivah kun mashlon. The Pasuk is teaching us a good eitzah, that since, as I said earlier, this Yirmiyah, they're buying these properties only as Klal Yisrael is going out of going to Golus, and these documents need to be, and we want to be able to have proof that we bought these properties. So the Pasuk says, you can't rely on all the other methods of proof. We spoke earlier in the Masechta Chazaka, being on the property 3 years, we're going to be in Golus all these years. So the Pasuk teaches us, commit the transaction to writing. In fact, the Pasuk says, put the documents into earthenware, that they should remain in good shape, that we should have it when needed, when we come back to Yisrael. So that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. Furthermore, Vekech Esoif HaMakna, Hochehav HaMaisa. The Pasuk is teaching us that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Yirmiyah the advice to buy property, it's a good business adventure, good business venture, and how to keep and have that done and have it committed to writing, but that the Pasuk teaches us that Yirmiyah took the advice and he actually did buy property from his cousin Hanamel. And the Pasuk, Apishtaim Edim, Apishlosh Edim, L'chakish Shlosh L'shlayim, Proctor Rebbe Kiva Rabbanim. As I said, a Gemara in Masechta Makis. The Gemara in Masechta Makis has two ways of understanding this pasuk. One way of understanding the pasuk is that two edim are enough. But the halacha is that we notice a dinim hazama, a primary subject of Masechet Makos. Hazama means that if the edim come to say testimony, other edim could say, how could you say testimony that this happened in this place at this day? Imanu Yisem, you were with us elsewhere. So the pasuk is teaching us, shnayim, let's say three witnesses said testimony. The halacha is, you don't need three witnesses to be mazim them. Two edim could be mazim three. That's what the pasuk is teaching us, according to the Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk is coming to teach us a famous concept of edus shebatal miktasa edabatal kula, which means as follows. Two edim are enough. But let's say for whatever reason, you chose to have three edim to an event, and one of those edim were disqualified. So you say, okay, take him off the list. I still have enough edim. No, the halacha is edim shebatal miktasa batal kula. And once one edim is disqualified, it disqualifies the entire group. So again, ask the Gemara, how can we say that the pasuk of Pishnei edim ashloish edim is coming to teach us that a shtar poshet has two edim and a shtar mekusha has three edim? We need the pasuk to teach us these various lemudim, either what the Tanakam or Rabbi Kiva says. Ella Mekusha Drabonim, says the Gemara, you're right. The entire concept of Shtar Mekusha and how the Shtar Mekusha is written is all Medrabonim. The Krah, the Psukim that we've been quoting, Esmachta Ba'alma, are just an Esmachta Ma'alma. Ask the Gemara, however, V'tamamai Tekin Rabonim Mekusha. Why did Chazal institute that should we write a Shtar Mekusha? Answers the Gemara. Ask with the Kahana Hava. This Shtar was written in the play, this Shtar Mekusha was instituted in a place where Kohanim live. Vavakabdi Tuva, their people, the Kohanim are angry, they're short-tempered, or Magdushin Ashayu, and therefore they're perhaps quick to divorce their wives. And there's a special problem, because if a Kohen divorces his wife, he can't take her back. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. Vavdi Rabbanan Takanta, that's why Chazal instituted that a Shtar Mekusha should written, Ad the Hochi Vahochi, until they'll calm down. Ask the Gemara, we could understand why Chazal would want a get should be written as a get mekusher so that they should calm down. But that has nothing to do with a regular business transaction. So why did Chazal, as we said at the beginning of our shir, institute a shtar mekusher even by business transaction? Answers the Gemara, k'deshlech tachlik ben shtaris Ben Gitin L'Shtaris, which means the two pshatim. One pshat is that if people will say that a shtar mekusha on a business transaction is not a good shtar, they'll also disqualify the get. But we want that the get, as we just said, should be written by mekusha. So the only way to keep us from disqualifying regular shtaris is by saying that everything should be written by mekusha. Another pshat is if the only time mekusha will be used is by a get, so people are not going to know how to write a shtar mekusha, which actually is the case. We don't know how to write a shtar mekusha. So, and hopefully, because gittin shouldn't take place very often, if mekusha is not a form of shtar that's used normally. So when we're going to need a shtar mekusha, we're not going to know how to do it. So that's why Chazal said, always write a shtar mekusha, and it'll keep in practice how to write it. So ask Tosfos the obvious question. If the halacha is that you have to write a shtar mekusha to get divorced, so why don't we have get mekusha nowadays? So three answers to this question. One answer to the question is that since we don't know, as I said at the beginning of this year, exactly how to write a shtar mekusha, and if we don't write it properly, we'll end up with a disqualified document. It's better not to write a shtar mekusha or get mekusha than to write it improperly and end up with a pasul get. Another pshat is that this original takana that they should write a get mekusha was only for that specific place, Basra. The Gemara uses the word Basra. For that place where there were kahanim who had this propensity of getting angry and getting divorced. So Chazal said in this place, at this time, get mekusha should be used. But it's not for everywhere. Similar to Tosfos says that it wasn't even in that place that Chazal said that they should use a get mekosher. What Chazal meant was that it's a good idea, given that that these people act a little quickly, that we should not write a get mekosher. We should write a get mekosher, we should give them a chance to think and reflect. Gemara says, the Kahanim Kapti. Kahanim are short-tempered. So I saw them short them. Why Kahanim short-tempered? Mumpshat is a little not so nice about Kahanim. Farshim suggests that Kahanim, given that they consider themselves better and greater than other people, because they're a Kahanim, feel that everything should go their way. They have that sense of entitlement. And when things don't go the way they want them to go, they get angry. And that's why they had this teva, they had this nature of getting angry. In fact, the halacha, we just learned this halacha in the previous parak, is that on Shabbos, you're not supposed to make a kinyan. Included in the halacha of not making a kinyan on Shabbos is, you're not allowed to make a goyel, you're not allowed to draw lots on Shabbos. Yet we find that in the Beis Hamikdash, when they divided the lechem upon him on Shabbos, it was done by lots. Why? Even though in Shabbos B'Mikdash, but why do it that way? Again, the Mefarshim explained, because the Kahanim have this nature of getting angry quickly, so if we wouldn't have a method of Goyrul, how to divide up the lechem upon him, or other Matnas Kuna on Shabbos, it could easily lead to fights, which they didn't want to see. Another reason I saw that Kahanim are upset quickly, Naim Elimelech says this pshat. The Gemara says that Talmid Chacham also sometimes get angry. The Gemara uses the words "arais risk behud." The Torah that's in them that gets excited. Same here, says the Naim Elimelech. The Kahanim have within them this kedusha, and the kedusha is what gets them angry. Another pshat, the Gemara many times says Kahanim Zrizimim. Kahanim act quickly, they get things done, which is usually a very good character trait. But again, sometimes it can work against you. Here they do it so quickly, they quickly decide to get divorced, even though they maybe should have tried to save the marriage. And after they're divorced, as I said, they can no longer save the marriage because a kohen can't marry a grusha. But ask the Mefarshim, the Paiskim asked this question, that the Rama speaks about the following question. Somebody hired workers for a day, and he was a nice employer. He paid his workers at the beginning of the day for a whole day's work. And they began working, and he was very dissatisfied with what they did, with their work, and he sends them home in the middle of the day. Do we say that he got angry? He said, just go home. I don't care, I paid you. Go home. And then afterwards, he thinks to himself, I ended up paying them all this extra money for nothing. Does he have a right to ask for his money back or not? Or to make a reckoning on the money? One opinion is, no, he sent them home. That's it. Another opinion is, no, since he did it when he was angry, so the halacha is that when you do something out of anger, it's not halachically valid. So ask the Paiskim, if our Gemara is referring to a situation where the Kohen got divorced because he's angry, so what? It doesn't count what you do when you're angry. So the whole get is invalid. So why are we so worried that the Kohen is now stuck with the get? So some of Farshim explain that there's a concept by get of Reyach HaGet. That even if the get is halachically not a valid get, Mar Masechta Yevamos discusses it, it's enough of a get that this kohen, that they consider divorced, and the kohen can't marry this woman. So maybe indeed, suggests some Mefarshim, that the get that was written out of anger, when the kohen was angry, would be an invalid get. But that doesn't change the fact that at least a reyecha get we have here, and a reyecha get creates a situation where this couple cannot remain together. The divorce is a divorce that the kohen take her back. Another pshat that I saw is that the case that the Rama is discussing is a situation of mechila. So the question is, was he meichel Was he not meichel the money? Here, it wasn't just a mechila. There was an act. There was something actually done. There was a get actually written. When a get is actually written, then the halach is very different. You can't just make believe that the get doesn't exist, and therefore we have a problem. The Chibina Rav has a different explanation. He says, it's not we're not to understand the Gemara that the Kohen gets angry because he's quick to get angry, and in his anger he's going to write a get, and then after the get is written, we're going to have a problem that what are we supposed to do now? Rather, explains the Chibina Rav, the way to understand the Gemara is to Kohanim act quickly. It's not that they got specially angry today. Their nature is a nature that they're quick to break up. They're quick to divorce. Not out of anger. And therefore, the get will be a 100% valid get. It wasn't that special anger that caused the get to be written today. And therefore, we want things to go slower. Chassam Sofer says a very similar pshat. Chassam Sofer says that the concern is that the Kohen indeed began having the get written out of anger. And perhaps we could indeed suggest that a get written out of anger is not a valid get. But the Kohanim have this nature. They'll get angry, and then they'll go run to the cipher, write a get, and then afterwards, they'll calm down. Other people, after they would calm down, would say, a get? Leave it. The Kohen, because of his nature, and now he's already calm, will still say, no, I want to go through with the get. So, but a Kohanim, we need to draw it out, schlep it out, give him a chance to think, because now he's already calm, and the get's going to be valid get, and that's why Chazal said, write a get makusher, which should never be quick to divorce and break a Jewish home.